third dimension.
This is 3D or 2D.com's The 3D Show.
Season 2, now twice as sexy.
Put on your 3D glasses now.
And if you're wondering what the 3Ds are in The 3D Show, well, they stand for discussion, debate, and the news. I do hope you enjoyed the show. The show, get it?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adolf Vega with Jake
Jarvis. Hello, hello, hello.
And today we got quite a few topics to talk about.
Oh, yes, we do.
Unfortunately, James is occupied at the moment, so he's not able to record with us. So, just to keep going. So, what do you want to start with? We have a huge list here.
Do you want to start with the hardware or the movie news?
Let's go with the movie news. Let's start off with the Boba Fett movie that is now dead.
Yeah, this is the one that they should have started with this one.
Why do you say that?
Boba Fett is just one of those characters that really captures the imagination of a certain age range of Star Wars fans. I think if they had started with Boba Fett as a spinoff movie instead of Solo and Rogue One, they probably wouldn't have this rebellion going on in the ranks, no matter what else they did, because these fanboys would have had their Boba Fett movie. He is such a wildly popular character. I mean, it's hard to believe he started out in the Christmas special.
So this is because Han Solo is considered a flop. It's not a flop. It's not a terrible movie. It's not a, it's just not a big hit like they're expecting it to be. So this is the end result where the rest of the spinoffs are now in question, and they're going to try to focus on the main ones, which the next one's 9. And I kind of think they should just take a rest after 9 anyway. Just give it like 5 years and then get some good, get a good story on there. And, I think they're going to work on the TV show for the Disney streaming. But I kind of think you could take a break off the film franchise for a little while. What do you think?
Oh, most definitely. I don't remember what Disney paid, but they're like, damn, it's like they're trying to make their money back instantly from what they paid Lucas for Star Wars. And Star Wars, I don't know, Star Wars and Disney are just two things that to me, Star Wars is a PG brand and Disney's a G brand. So to me, they don't really exactly meld. Star Wars is its own thing.
Now, with Star Wars, I kind of feel like, a lot of people kind of ripped on 7 because it was too similar to New Hope, which I actually don't mind because I think it was a way to reestablish the franchise after the prequels. And then obviously episode 8 is very controversial. You either kind of love it or hate it among the fans. Or at least there's a large, vocal percentage of the fans that hate the movie, So, and I think the consensus on Solo is that it's all right, and a lot of people seem to like Rogue One. So I like it, but I don't love it. I think it's fine. What'd you think of Rogue One?
It's actually of the Disney Star Wars movies, it's my favorite so far, and I think it's because it was just a concise story, beginning, middle, end, no cliffhangers. It was just the little bit of history of Star Wars. It was a very interesting fill out, how they got the plans. And probably because I saw it in that time period when Carrie Fisher was still comatose. So that kind of struck a nerve too.
Now, Boba Fett, he did get some explanation in episode 2 Clone Wars, or the Clone Wars, the Battle of the Clones, or what's the title for episode 2? Attack of the Clones. And, you know, you figured out he's a clone, and, or, I don't know. I kind of feel like episode 2 kind of ruined Boba Fett for me. I just, like, I don't really care about him anymore. What do you think of that?
Don't have any problem with that. I was kind of over Boba Fett by the time they killed him in the Sarlacc pit, to be honest, because I thought he was a interesting character, but I didn't think he was the end-all be-all.
Yeah, I kind of like that, the fact that he has a mystery behind him, and, you know, you don't need to have every character really filled out. You could have some mystery there and just kind of leave it there for fun, and you could imagine things, and you could leave it there for comic books or, you know, fiction, you know, the other non-canon now, you know, books and such. So I never really thought Boba Fett needed to have his own movie. Now, this is probably going to lead to never getting what is probably sad. We're never probably going to get the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan movie, which I actually really want.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But we're not, going to get to that. Because even when Disney or decides to do character movies again, he's going to be too old.
So there might be, you know, I'm never going to say never to that movie. And, you know, yeah. McGregor says he's interested and the fans want him. So if anything would be a safe bet for a Star Wars movie, it would be that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I think everyone really liked McGregor as Obi-Wan in the prequels. He was like the highlight actor in the prequels that was, you know, legitimately not an actor beforehand. You know, I mean, everyone loves Sam Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, Ewan McGregor, I mean, unless you were into indie films, I mean, he did some stuff with Danny Boyle. But yeah, he was almost complete unknown before the prequels. And he just, I mean, and he even got Alec Guinness's accent perfect. So it just blended, his character just blended right in with the original three.
So, yeah, you know, it's I'm kind of happy that Boba Fett's not happening, just because I don't need it, but I'm kind of sad that this will eventually lead to maybe not getting, you know, that movie that I actually do want with Obi-Wan. So, it's just kind of sad. I don't think Han Solo deserves the, you know, the crap it's gotten for not performing, you know. Not everything has to be a billion-dollar movie, you know.
Yeah, I think the problem is Star Wars fans aren't ready to let go of, I think they like the actors more than the characters still.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Solo had come out maybe 6 months later,
mm-hmm.
maybe it wouldn't have been right on top of another Star Wars movie. Maybe they would have been more forgiven and given it a chance. Because most people I know, it was like, oh, Harrison Ford's not in it. I don't want to go see it. And I'm like, you realize he's older than your grandfather. And they go, I don't care. And they go, I don't care.
You know,
and then they start talking about that de-aging software. And then my eyes just gloss over. You know?
I was kind of expecting that Harrison Ford would make a cameo in there, but maybe I just missed it or he wasn't in there at all. Do you remember if he was in there?
Oh, no. He was definitely not in there. He had, when they killed him off, that was it. He's Denzo with Star Wars.
No ghost of him.
Yeah, no ghost. No Force ghost.
So, let's keep going here with movie news. So, we got a pretty huge delay with Wonder Woman. Now, it's going to be coming out on June 5th, 2020. And that was originally going to come out next November 2019. So, it's almost like a 7 month or 6.5 month delay. So it's going to be back to be a summer movie, which is fine. The first one was a summer movie, but it is just kind of wow. 7 months is a huge amount of time for a movie to be delayed, you know?
Yeah, especially with Warner Brothers, it seems like every time one of their superhero movies gets a delay, they turn into a pile of crap.
At the very least, the same people are behind the first one that are behind this one, so I'm not too worried there. I mean, I really like the direction of Patty Jenkins in Wonder Woman, the first one, and they have all the same people, I think, so I'm confident in that regard that they'll have the same kind of movie, you know, quality.
Yeah. I'm just hoping, it just seems like the new regime running Warner Brothers isn't that different from the old one.
Yeah. And Wonder Woman was always kind of out, not like in the place of Superman or Batman. It was like its own thing. The movie like was not directed by Snyder, was not touched by Snyder. I think Zack Snyder did help with some shots here and there, because there are some pretty cool slow motion shots that, you know, scream Zack Snyder, you know, kind of movie. But I think he was like maybe 10% of the movie, you know, compared to Batman, Superman, and Justice League, where he, you know, did. So I kind of think, you know, Patty Jenkins knows what she's doing. She, you know, I'm still not sure about Cheetah as the main villain. I mean, I do like her as a character. I do think she's an interesting villain for Wonder Woman, but I don't know if it's enough to carry an entire movie, you know? What do you think?
Yeah, well, there's probably other villain characters. They just haven't announced them. And I guess this because there's a few Wonder Woman villains who can resurrect the dead. So I was thinking, so if Steve Trevor shows up and he's dead, you know, sounds like we've got a necromancer, maybe. Because, like I said, there's a few Wonder Woman villains who do resurrect the dead.
Now, I have wondered about that, because it did confirm that someone, the actor is going to be in there, but not, say, it was Steve Trevor, because he did die. So it's like maybe his kid or something, or grandson, or something, and that's, or maybe she's just seen a vision of him, and that's,
yeah.
People are over, you know, analyzing it, like the internet does, and that's all it is, you know.
We'll find out 7 months later than we originally would have found out.
Yeah, we'll have found out in a year and 7 months. Or 8 months, whatever.
Yeah. So,
which then leads to only one DC comic books movie coming out next year, which is Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the three for Marvel.
Yeah.
I kind of think, we may get into this a little bit later, but I kind of think there's no good reason to have Spider-Man come out in the summer. That could easily be in the fall, and I guess we could get into it now. You know, we did see some photos of Spider-Man's new costume from Spider-Man Away From Home or Far From Home, and it's darker colors, and it's just like, hello, are you just totally stomping on over Avengers, you know, Infinity War, you know, just they could have completely delayed or had that movie come out in the fall of next year, you know, October, November or something. And then you could totally have Avengers and not have, you know, Spider-Man being part of, you know, like a month and a half later. you know, because it's going to ruin some of the excitement because you know Spider-Man's going to come back because you see the trailer for this movie, you know, way before that. So, and how are you going to advertise Infinity, you know, Avengers 4 with Spider-Man trailer also at the same time coming out probably, you know, not short after. So that's where it gets weird. You know what I mean? They're getting too many movies at the same time where they're kind of stomping on top of each other for advertising time. And
well, the issue is that Sony doesn't care because they own Spider-Man, not Disney, and they're interested in their bottom line, not Disney or Marvel's. So that's why that's happening. And it will probably happen for until the end of days because Sony, like Universal, pretty much owns their characters. Because Perlman, when he sold them off, the deals he cut those studios were sweetheart deals. We're just lucky as fans that Warner Brothers didn't bite at the ones that they were offered.
So, yeah, obviously now that Venom is considered a success, I think it's mm-hmm. no doubt in either one of our minds that it's a success. They're going to keep going until they don't get a success. And they don't care about how really it messes up with the MCU or whatever, you know. They're just there to make the money and they don't care about the story or art of it at all, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they care a bit about their movies, but not a whole lot, as you can tell by Venom.
So, going on to Avengers, we got a lot of topics about Avengers. So, now that we started talking about Avengers, apparently Faggy said in a tweet that we're going to have a Avengers 4 trailer this year. This year, 2018, before the end of the year. And, which doesn't leave that much room. When do you think they're going to reveal this trailer?
Probably November 21st. On Good Morning America is my guess. That seems to be what the people who know a lot more about this stuff than I do seem to be thinking the day is going to be.
That's a very specific day.
Exactly. But that's the day everybody's thinking, November 21st.
Okay. I was wondering if it's going to get attached to the Nutcracker movie as a, you know, the trailer, the for, you know, to get people interested in seeing that or something.
Yeah. If I was Disney, I would do everything in my power to get any eyeballs other than poor, miserable critics to see the Nutcracker.
And, you know, I think if it's after the 21st, then that will be far enough that they attach it in front of Wreck-It Ralph too. So that would be, because, you know, that's just smart marketing to go ahead and it might be kind of close because that also comes out on the 21st, but having that trailer in front of you know, Wreck-It Ralph would be pretty big for that too, you know. I don't know. I mean, obviously Mary Poppins will probably have it too, you know, in December. Because that's the way you do it. You know, you go ahead and...
Yeah, if they were smart, they just tag it on to everything they're putting out.
So that's going to be exciting. Avengers 4, we're finally going to get a title in there. And we're finally going to get something.
Hopefully we get the title.
And we haven't had a single leak about it or nothing. They've been really good at this.
Yep.
Which is surprising because we always get leaks of something.
Yeah.
And like, there's not any trailer anywhere. No one's talked about this. It's been really quiet. And, you know, is Captain Marvel going to be in this first trailer? is, you know, are they going to even try to explain the other heroes if they're the ones that dusted away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many things that that trailer has to do. And, you know, I'm kind of excited, but I'm also worried because it's like, it's going to have so much hype, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So talking about that, we did get some information on other characters maybe entering the MCU, and this one is interesting, and it is the character of Namor. Do you know who Namor is?
Oh, yes, the Submariner. He's one of the crown jewels of Marvel Comics from their timely days. He's one of their big trinity of characters, which was him, the Human Torch, and Captain America.
So this goes way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his copyright is kind of wonky, too. I won't get into it because it would take forever to explain why, but you can Google it and find out for yourself. And Marvel, so under the reign of Perlman, Universal has the rights to Submariner, and it's a deal similar to what the Hulk character has. So I'm thinking Marvel is taking a wait and see position to see how Aquaman does, to see if they want to go through the minefield they're going to have to do anything with Namor. Because between Universal having him and his copy and just things that would make Disney's legal be a little nervous, they want to see if it's going to be worth it for them to use this character. I'm real excited because he's one of their best characters, even though he's been written terribly for decades.
The Savior of Atlantis is the Prince of the Deep.
Now, let's go back to the Universal deal he mentioned. That you're correct. Universal has the movie rights to solo movies with Namor, just like he does with the Hulk, because the Incredible Hulk was a Universal movie in association with Marvel. And so if they do Namor, that's going to be, you know, in another movie. They're not going to do, you know, it may be too much of a hassle to try to do a solo one with Universal, because Universal, you know, whatever about them. I'm not really happy with being Universal and how they do their business, because they're not very, you know, they're all over the place in quality. So this would mean that it'll probably have to introduce him in another movie, like, you know, I don't know what kind of movie that would be a good movie to introduce them in. I guess if they do a Fantastic Four movie again or something, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Or they could just make him, since he seems to be, they seem to be writing him as a villain, they could probably use him as a villain.
Yeah.
Or they could have him be one of the X-Men.
Now, you mentioned Aquaman before. Now, is it Namor the original and Aquaman is the copy?
Yes.
So that's very interesting that, if one of anything, that Warner Brothers was able to get, you know, their Aquaman movie coming out this year, and Namor is still who knows when, you know, just how interesting those things work out, where in some ways, Warner Bros. Has been able to get some things working. You know, they got the first major female movie with Wonder Woman, you know, and that was a huge hit, and everyone loved it. And Marvel and MCU have really struggled to get any, you know, female-centered one. I mean, they're still in talks and doing scripting, I think, for Black Widow. Now, I do like Black Widow. I do like her. I do think, you know, she has a good enough story for a movie. But I kind of think that maybe it's too late, you know? I think it would have been really good to do it, like, after Captain America Winter Soldier, or right before the first Avengers, you know, those two time frames would have been really good for that movie, because, you know, apparently after the events of, you know, Winter Soldier, all her information is leaked out to the public, and we understand what that means yet. And, you know, you got introduced of her in Iron Man 2, but you never really got to know her that well until you got, you know, Avengers. So, I mean, I'll still watch it. I'm still interested, but I kind of feel like she could have, it would have been better to do this a long time ago, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. What do you think?
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it's going to stop them from doing it. I mean, the current rumor is they're going to release a Black Widow movie and an Eternals movie the same year.
Interesting.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by 3D Wiggle. With 3D Wiggle software, you can impress your family and friends with 3D GIFs and videos. To find out more information, please click on the link in the description for 20% off coupon as well. This podcast is also brought to you by Patreon. With Patreon, you can become a patron and get this podcast commercial free and get many more benefits. Please click on the description again to get more information. Now, back to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, let's keep going here with Marvel. Now, we've got some Guardians of the Galaxy 3 news, and it's kind of been all over the place. So it's kind of hard to really get what is actually happening. But from what I've heard, that they are going to be using the same script that was written by James Gunn. Obviously, James Gunn is not directing this, and it has been delayed to 2021, but then it's kind of on hold anyway right now, so it's kind of wishy-washy if it ever is going to actually happen, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say you'd file this with the Gambit movie.
So, yeah, it's going to be weird because, like, I think there's a lot of there with the Guardians that happened in Avengers Infinity War that I don't know if we're going to get enough time in Avengers 4 to really figure out what's happened with them, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe some of that writing is like, all right, screw it. Some of the Guardians stay dead or something, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I imagine they're going to probably do that.
That's the easiest way of doing it.
It's sad,
yeah.
But...
But, like, how would you, and then how would you do that?
I don't know. And also... a lot of fanboys, they should be wondering, does this mean we're not going to get Nova and Adam Warlock?
Yeah. Because Guardians can really introduce a lot of interspace stuff, and with Fox being in the play, that could really open up a lot of things, like Silver Surfer, which is a really interesting character, and I want more of him, you know, or it.
Yep.
And Galactus, and, you know, Fantastic Four, and, you know... There's a lot of space stuff in there that could really work well, you know, with Guardians. So, I mean, if they're going to have the same script from James Gunn, I think that's going to be good. But having the director on there, you know, it's going to be weird because you're going to have, you know, James, you know, director-writer combo is a hard thing to divorce from one another. You know, you can have a script, but then if you direct it weird, it's going to be, you know, not work. And Baptista, you know, the one that plays Drax, is, like, really committed to James Gunn. And, you know, it's still not sure if he's willing to break contract and walk away. Which I think in behind the scenes, they're talking about it now, that Disney has, like, hey, we got a contract with you. You know, you're going to do this movie or something. You know, you have this, you know. But...
He can just go back to the WWE and wrestle. I think they would welcome him with open arms, and then whenever his whatever suspension he is up has for breaking his contract, he just write it out in the WWE. So I don't think he cares. He's just going to do what he thinks is right, and bless him for it.
Now, this leads to another good segue. James Gunn now is officially doing Suicide Squad 2 for Warner Brothers.
He's scripting. They don't have a director yet. I mean, yeah, chances are he's going to be who directs it. But we don't know this 100%. Mm-hmm. Even though James Gunn has been fired from Disney, that doesn't mean his production company isn't still doing stuff. Like, there's been rumors that he's doing a Starsky and Hutch reboot with his brothers for Amazon. Mm. But I don't have a whole lot. So he could be doing episodes of that and can't direct. But who knows? I would say it's about a 75% chance he's going to direct Suicide Squad 2,
which
as well as script it.
I definitely think that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see Batista in it. I want to see Rainn Wilson in it. I want to see Ellen Page in it. I want to see Michael Rooker in it.
Now, Batista, I think people have already suggested of who a character he should be, and I think it definitely would fit perfectly if he would be Bane. What do you think of him being Bane?
Yeah. Oh, he would make a great Bane. And it's a moment of silence for Shane West's career. I saw pictures of his version of Bane on Gotham. Oh my god. Oh my god.
I gave up on Gotham after season one.
I don't even know what to say. I mean,
so there's
anymore. It's like, I'm probably not even going to watch this final season.
Yeah, they're still doing that mask thing that was kind of done in The Dark Knight Rises. And, you know, if Batista is to be Bane, they could just go back to the, you know, Mexican, Latin American kind of heritage of him being a wrestler. You know, or, you know,
yeah,
or, mm-hmm. you know, a Mexican wrestler, not a WWE, but, or whatever wrestling.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. that wrestling is very different.
Yeah. Like Santo.
You think Nacho Libre, and instead of thinking Hulk, you know, not Hulk, but,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Yeah, Hulk. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Nacho Libre versus Hulk Hogan. They're not the same. Hulk they're both Hogan. Wrestling, but they're not the same kind of wrestling, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I appreciate the sport of wrestling. I don't, you know, I don't hate one or another. I do kind of think that Mexican wrestling is a little more real, per se. I mean, I think they're both real, but they're less. I think the amount of scripting and I don't know. I don't want to get into that. But, you know, it's a little more...
Well, when somebody says Mexican wrestling, I think Santo movies, so... Or, as I saw him as a kid dubbed in English, Samson movies.
Yeah, like, they do a lot more costumes and stuff, and that's where Bane is from. Uh-huh. Or that's, like, the original yeah. origins of Bane. So, that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they wanted to go... Yeah. It would be a great take. Instead of just another copy of Tom Hardy's performance.
Which I like Tom Hardy's performance, though.
I know, but you want Tom Hardy to do it, not somebody else.
Yeah, I'm fine moving on from that. And, you know, having the...
Uh-huh.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
So...
I can remember when everybody lost their damn mind over Heath Ledger getting cast as the Joker. Now everybody gets pissy when actors don't want to impersonate him.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will about Jared Leto's performance in Suicide Squad, what little of it we could actually see, I was like, most popular character next to Harley Quinn and comics for DC, and he's a glorified cameo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, what idiocy.
Yeah, I would have liked it if they would have like made him the, you know, official villain of Suicide Squad. That would have made more sense than, I think it was like the Enchantress and whatever magic thing that was part of it. You know, I forget, you know.
Yeah, it just that movie just kind of went from being Kelly's Heroes into being the 1984 version of Ghostbusters. Because I was at the end going, like, aim for the flat top. I mean, really. I mean, the Enchantress was standing there like Zool.
So, let's keep going here with more comic book news. Let's go to Warner Brothers since we're still talking about that. And we got some Flash movie news. Oh, boy. So, now that movie is delayed to 2021.
I just want to know, why do they even bother to announce movies? Because it's like they always change the date, so just confuses everybody, and it just makes you look wishy-washy and indecisive. So I'm like, why do they even bother announcing a date? And this Flash movie, we might as well file it with Gambit.
Yeah, maybe never going to happen, and if it does, it'd be a big surprise, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is like the third time this movie's been delayed and delayed and delayed, and, like, you know, I actually do like Ezra Miller as Flash. I don't mind him. Yeah. Do you like him?
Yeah.
Obviously, I like
him. I mean, he's a good actor, so that helps.
I do like more the TV version of Flash, but Ezra Miller's fine. You know, he's not he's not a terrible Flash, like people say. He's not a great Flash, like, you know.
Well, I mean, we've had dozens upon dozens of hours of Grant Gustin playing the Flash, and what, we haven't even had an hour's worth of material of Ezra Miller playing the Flash. So, I mean, one has had all this real estate and time to develop his character. Another one is just we've barely seen him. I mean, that's just the reality of movies. TV, you got all these hours to play with. And a movie, you just got a couple hours.
Yeah.
So many. Yeah, and it takes about 3 years, too, between movies. Two, if you're Disney, you can crank them out.
Now, on top of that, too, I think, you know, CW has been very lucky lately with all their shows, because, like, you know, the first season of a lot of their shows are really great, and they just hit it out of the park, and, you know, they have, like, a slump here and there, but, you know, first season of Flash was fantastic, and, you know, everyone was on board with Grant Gustin as Flash, and, you know, everyone liked Stephen Amell for Oliver Queen and Arrow. So, you know, and they have a whole big, thriving CW TV universe that the movies should be jealous of, you know? Because they've done so much in those TV shows of what they've had, and, you know, the limited budget they've had. You know, for God's sakes, Constantine is now in this universe with Legends of Tomorrow, and, like, NBC owned them, and now they got them over, and it's, you know, I like the CW TV universe, so, it's,
yeah.
Now, the big story that The Flash was originally going to have, the movie, was going to be Flashpoint, and recently they said not going to be Flashpoint anymore, which I 100% agree upon, that Flashpoint is a bad way to start the Flash movie. It's a good second or third movie, not a good first movie. What do you think about Flashpoint being theoretically the first movie?
If they were going to do Flashpoint, I wouldn't make it a Flash movie. I would make it more of a Justice League movie, unless you have your universe established well enough that you could use a Captain America movie to be an Avengers 2.5 movie, like they did with Civil War.
Yeah, that's a very, very good thing.
But Flashpoint would be something, it would be a great way to clean up a messed up universe.
And they're trying to do that, I think, because they wanted to explain how they're going to reboot Batman and fix things with Superman and whatever. And they can't do it because Flashpoint, just in case anyone doesn't know what Flashpoint is in the comics, Flash is built on the idea that, you know, young kid, you know, loses his mom and, you know, there's a time, there's a person that comes back in time and kills her. And then he becomes a Flash later on by an accident. And then he goes back in time to stop his mom from dying. And then when he does that, yes, he stops it, but then he ruins the timeline. And then he has to fix it again. And then when he fixes it again, it's kind of broken or kind of different. So he has to, he learns the valuable lesson, one, don't mess with time. Two, if you do mess with time, things are not going to be perfect as it was before. And three, it's a character showcase to see how different the characters are between, you know, the original version and the new version. And if you don't have the characters that base that on, it doesn't work. It falls apart because you need to know all the characters and if they get changed, why they're different. You know, if you're going to introduce them and 20 minutes later they're a different character, why do you care?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So if they're going to do a Flash movie, I think the easy way to do this is, you know, you could do a quick origin, you know, maybe have like 20 minutes of it being the origin real quick, and then just have two of the villains, and, you know, and just kind of make it light, make it funny, and make it fast-paced. You know, fast-paced Flash movie that's like an hour and 20 minutes and has two kind of lighter, you know, rogues. Could just be a fun, light movie that could work. I think that's a simple way of doing it. Why try harder? And you could have something that works, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, you could have, like, Heat Wave and Captain Cold, or you could have the Pied Piper, and I think it would be good with him. Pied Piper.
Or the Mirror? The Mirror?
Yeah. Mirror Master or Trickster. I mean, crap, you could do what they, I don't know if you remember, I'm trying to remember the issue of Flash's second series, because if we count the Golden Age character, where the Rogues Gallery is all standing above him. They're like the old ones that don't have really, none of them are speedsters.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a way to go. It's like five or six of the rogues, you know, like Trickster, Pied Piper,
yeah.
Heatwave, Captain, do those guys.
Yeah, because like I would want the Yellow Flash or the Reverse Flash to be like a second movie, because, you know, I think you have to really establish him and get him going. And then the Reverse Flash could be a really great villain.
Yeah, you could have a Zoom. You know, you see a yellow blur in the first movie. People who watch the TV show and read the comics will know who it is. And everybody else will just be intrigued.
That's a great post-credit scene.
Exactly.
But yeah, because I think the Reverse Flash and Zoom are really cool characters, but they're second movie, you know, they're not the first movie. I think the first movie, just getting established, having some minor rogues. But I mean, the rogues have never been like a super threat. I mean, some of them are, but like, you know, Captain Cold, Weather Wizard, Heat Wave, Mirror Master, Trickster, Pied Piper, you know, Top, Captain.
Heck, two of those guys have become good guys now.
Yeah. So, you know, some of them are, none of them are like really deadly, really going to take over the world. But, you know, you could have them in there and have some fun with it and then, you know, wrap it up and then move on to the next character. And then you just kind of, you know, you could have that and, you know, not be a major, you know, end of the world, end of the universe threat. You could just have some fun there. And, you know, some of the characters of Flash are kind of like copies of Batman characters with Captain Cold and, you know, Trickster.
Yeah.
So, you know, having to make sure that's distinguishable from, you know, Joker and Mr. Freeze, you know, or Dr. Freeze or whatever. But, yeah, I think that could be fun. You know, I wouldn't want to introduce the Kid Flash or any other version of Flash in this movie, if it does even happen at this point. I mean, at the very least, Ezra Miller is going to be working with Warner Brothers for the Fantastic Beasts movies. So, you know, he's going to be around. So he's not going to, you know, they'll find a way. I think I think the Flash movie might eventually come out, but it's gonna probably be like late 2021, like Aquaman, you know, a week before the end of the year kind of thing.
I think we'll find out a lot more what's going on when the numbers for Aquaman come in. I think they're not, I think Warner Brothers may be planning some stuff, but they're probably, right now, they're just seeing if Aquaman's going to be a hit or not.
Yeah, that's just unfair to Aquaman because it's such a heavy, you know, December still, and, you know, yeah, and then, of course, Shazam, I think, you know, after, I think they're just going to let Wonder Woman take a while, and if, you know, Wonder Woman, the budget, and it's already production and everything's going there, I think they may just take a pause after that and like, all right, is this worth continuing or just let it go, you know?
Yeah.
Because they can't stop the production of Aquaman, Shazam, and Wonder Woman 2, you know, right now. It's already happening. It's already being filmed. It's already being done. But anything after that point is totally up to, you know, I don't know when Suicide Squad 2 is supposed to come out. Who knows? You know?
I think they're just waiting on a script.
So
right now, so as soon as James Gunn turns it in and they read it, and decide whether he has to do rewrites, then I think after that, then they look at their schedule and we'll find it out.
So and then,
heck, for all I know, he's already written it. You know, who knows?
And we still got the Batman movies, you know, coming out.
I think at this point, you might want to file Batman with Gambit.
You just want to file everything with Gambit.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we're going to get a Gambit movie before any of these others. I mean, for a while. I mean, I just don't think Matt Reeves, the Batman, is going to happen at this point. It's just seeming like it's having as many delays as Gambit.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie looks like that's in production right now, so that probably is going to happen, but, you know, I like Matt Reeves as a writer, though. I really like him as a director in the Apes movies, so...
Yeah, see, the Apes are like my Star Wars, because I was at that age with Planet of the Apes, so I was, like, super nervous when they were rebooting it, because I did not like Tim Burton's movie very much.
I mean, how could you? It's not that good of a movie.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, ugh. And then Matt Reeves, I was like, that knocked my socks off. It was amazing.
Yeah, I would say the new Planet of the Apes trilogy is better than their old one, which is saying a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, of the Apes movies in the past, I only think the original is a great movie. The rest are meh. But that's just my opinion.
I like the director's cut of the last one. The one that was, they got slapped with the R rating and then they had to cut it and it was unseen for like 40 years. That one's pretty good. The faults of the second one, I blame on Charlton Heston because he was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And it also didn't help that I think Rod Serling had passed on, so he couldn't keep scripting. Because he's part of the reason the first one is so good.
Yeah, the first one is a classic, and it holds up pretty well.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So... let's go from, no way to segue this, but let's just start talking about the new Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So, apparently Johnny Depp is not going to come back as Jack Sparrow, and they're considering rebooting it, which, at this point, they might as well. You know, I think if they're going to...
I just think they should just forget. I just think they should just sit on that IP. Don't do any movies. Just don't do anything right now. I think it's run its course. I think they're at this point they're beating a dead horse. The only reason this thing flew in the first place was Johnny Depp. Yeah, there's some social justice warriors screaming for his head. I'm just so over it. I don't care. He's a really great actor. He's played this character more than he's played any other character. I would like to see him play somebody else other than just being a murder victim in an Agatha Christie remake. So it's just let Pirates of the Caribbean die. Just let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
Let it go. Let it go.
So, all right. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. The last one came out last May, which feels like forever ago. That made $172 million in the U.S. box office, which is not bad, but in the worldwide box office, it made $622 million. So a grand total of almost $800 million, $794 million. So that's the thing. The budget was probably $230 with another $100 for advertising, give or take. So it made a good amount of money. And that's the thing. The foreign markets can't get enough of these movies, where I think the U.S. doesn't care anymore.
Yeah. The thing is, though, the only interest this has is Johnny Depp.
Now.
And it's not his fault. It's his fault for keeping signing up for him. But it's not his fault that the stories are getting terrible.
Now, I've only seen two of these movies. I saw the first one on, I rented it on DVD, and I didn't care for it. It didn't do anything for me. And then it was surprising that Johnny Depp was, I don't know if you remember this, but back then he was nominated for an Academy Award for best acting for his portrayal of Jack Sparrow for the first movie, which blows my mind thinking about that now, you know, but like, I think,
yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah. Well, there was a time when Anthony Perkins went through the same thing with playing Norman Bates. He became it was like, wow, gosh. But, I mean, he wasn't nominated for an Oscar, but there was talk of it. But the character just, he was like, wow, wow. And then all of a sudden, it just became such a cultural icon. Then the cliche, you know, then it was sneered at, and then he passed on, and now it's considered classic again.
So yeah, it became like a self-parody of himself, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny Depp is in that same cycle right now. That's why I would say let it die. But the fact that it's made so much money, that ain't gonna happen. And they're probably gonna cast one of these British upstarts like Anson Elgard or whatever his name is, and then they're going to probably spend more money and get slightly less box office.
Now, I kind of think the Pirates of the Caribbean could be a good TV show.
Yeah.
For the Disney streaming channel, I think that could be a big hook international. Because I don't know how streaming business is around the world. I think it's pretty big too. But I think, you know, obviously in more richer countries, it's more a big deal, you know, where pirating is much bigger deal in lesser rich countries and poorer countries. I'm not going to use the first world versus third world because I don't like that terminology. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I think that could be something that could hook people to go onto the, you know, from other parts of the world. Oh, I want to have the Disney channel, the Disney streaming app to watch, you know, my Pirates, you know, TV show. And they can make that into a relatively shorter budget and have that, you know, be a 13 episode run and make it for like a fraction of the budget, but still likable. And I think it could work as a TV show. I think it could work really well as a TV show, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it should be a reboot.
I mean, obviously.
Maybe not even not even call it Pirates of the Caribbean, call Jack Sparrow, and about his, you don't have a, you know, just cast yourself a decent 25-year-old actor and about the early adventures. And
yeah, I think that could work. That's a way of doing it to make people that are interested to watch it. People that are not won't watch it. But I think having it streaming could get people really hooked onto the, you know, Disney streaming app that's coming soon. So we got one more Disney movie, and we get into the hardware stuff. We got the first teaser trailer to Aladdin, and this is quite literally a teaser trailer. What'd you think of this?
It showed so little. I was like, whatever. Of course, I'm not the world's biggest Aladdin fan. To me, the animation in the was just not that great, and the songs didn't hook me, and it was just. I love Robin Williams, not his movies so much.
Now, for me, I grew up with Aladdin. That was like one of my childhood animated movies, Disney. So I love Aladdin, and this seems fine. I'm not like super hyped for it. You know, these teaser trailers are literally like 5 seconds long, or not really that, but you know, they're pretty short. So you get basically some bullet points enough to get you interested. And then when they get to the real trailer, that's when we're really going to see how this movie is going to be like. Because, you know, we haven't seen Jafar, we haven't seen Jasmine, we haven't seen the genie, we haven't seen a lot of things here. So, you know, I'm okay with it. I'm not against it. I'm not, you know, it looks fine. You know, I think a lot of people are commenting that Aladdin has a shirt on this movie. It's funny. Where in the cartoon, he didn't have an undershirt. He just had the vest.
Yeah.
It looks fine. You know, I don't think they've confirmed it's been in 3D yet. But considering that every one of their live-action movies have been, I'm pretty confident that it's going to be a 3D movie, you know?
Yeah. I think we'll find out when we get a trailer.
It's a pretty safe assumption at this point, you know? Beauty and the Beast was. I think everything they've done except for like Cinderella was 3D. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think pretty much through 2022, everything's going to be 3D more or less. Because I think that's how long Disney's signed up their contract with Real 3D is. It might be 2023, but I think it's 2022.
So, kind of talking about hardware, we got some interesting technology things that kind of popped up. Occasionally, we get these kind of press releases, and I'll post them, but I don't know if it's like really, if it's just kind of in the air, or if it's just kind of, you know, vaporware technology where it's, oh yeah, this is coming out soon and never comes out, you know? So they did talk about a new Hydrogen 1 3D phone that has like projection, and the 3D phones, they kind of came and left within about a year, you know? So there's very few of them out there, like new ones. I think there's like, you know, not many at all. And they're all Android-based. Obviously, Apple has not been interested at all with that technology. And this seems interesting. You know, like I said, it's going to be hard because how many studios would let you watch their movies on there? You know, how much compatible stuff? And we got some other tech that's like projection-based, and it's like glasses 3D, 3D tech. It's just kind of weird. Did you read any about this articles or no?
Yeah. Red Hydrogen, they're famous for their cameras. James Gunn used them. Well, actually, a cinematographer did on Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So basically this phone is a camera first. Phone second, and it's a real thing. it makes an iPhone look cheap. They're expensive. To me, until they release the cinema module, to me, it's I'm not even that interested. Because to me, until they have a cinema module, until you can actually really use it for something, it's way too expensive for me to even look into.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if their Glasses 3D is the Ultra D.
No. So that's a different thing altogether. It's a Tron XYZ.
So we're going to have a format war.
Well, I don't know.
Wonderful.
Let me read the press release so you get a idea what this is, which I read it and I was like, I don't know, whatever. I don't understand it, but okay.
Okay.
The basic idea behind how the technology works is simple. Instead of a purely flat screen, Tron XYZ uses a special optical device laminated on top of the regular screen to control the slight light directions from pixels on the screen so that both eyes can see different pixels. Essentially, one eye sees different picture than the other eye, and this is how we view the real world. So the benefits of this technology compared to the old style, it just allows for more robust viewing experience. And it don't need glasses for this technology, and it's a very bright technology.
It sounds like they've taken Lentiker photography, you know, the Wiggle pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured out how to get this effect working and moving images. Now, the big question is, what's the field of range? How, what a degree do you have? Do you have to be looking head on, or how much of an angle can? Because that's what stopped it from being used in theaters, glasses free 3D. Is because you literally had to sit in a very narrow, had to be so far, and you had to be so close, so 3/4 of a space of in a movie theater, you couldn't see the effect at all. So I'm wondering if they've, how much they've overcome that, and how big, because this phone's only 5x7, so how big can this image project in 3D?
So yeah, this thing, I don't know. I'm gonna put a link to the article on the show notes, but I don't understand it, and it's one of those things you're not gonna understand until you actually see it with your own eyes, you know. So we'll see how that actually works out, or if it's just vaporware and never comes out, or if it's just like one thing you see in the museum one day and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of technology is like that, where it could be awesome, but it's just not something that is practical to use everywhere. But it might be cool to have in museums or something, you know. After these
messages, we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by 3D Wiggle. With 3D Wiggle software, you can impress your family and friends with 3D GIFs and videos. To find out more information, please click on the link in the description for 20% off coupon as well. This podcast is also brought to you by Patreon. With Patreon, you can become a patron and get this podcast commercial free and get many more benefits. Please click on the description again to get more information. Now, back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two more things. Facebook got into the VR business a couple years ago when they bought the rights to Oculus Rift, and now they're using Facebook to do pictures, and these 3D pictures are pretty interesting. So right now, at least that I know of, it's kind of wishy-washy. I haven't really read into it that much, but you need an iPhone, and then you need a newer kind of iPhone that have the dual cameras. So that includes 7 Plus, 8 Plus, 10, and 10S. that does not include the 10R that just recently released as a recording, because you need the dual lenses create a, when you take a portrait photo on the iPhone, it creates, you know, a blur effect because it uses the depth sensing of the second camera. And what Facebook is doing with these photos is that you post a picture and then it uses the information from the depth to make the picture to make like a virtual kind of reality with your phone where you could like wiggle your phone left and right, up and down, and it could like generate like a semi 3D image of whatever you took. And if you have been following us on Facebook, I have posted several pictures of in this format, and it does work. It's kind of a nice novelty, you know, and I've posted them on Instagram and Twitter as well. But it's a kind of a fun thing. You could, you know, because it, all the technology you need is the iPhone and you have the Facebook and you're good to go. And it works well. Like, I've taken a lot of pictures of my cats and, like, you know, you get a good sense of the 3D in there, and it's kind of neat technology. You know, I don't know if anything's going to come from it besides being able to have pretty cool little photos on Facebook, you know. But our Facebook group is continuing to grow. You know, I forget how much time, what amount of people we had last time I mentioned it. But now we have over 8,000 people following us on Facebook. So if you haven't already, I definitely recommend following us on Facebook to get all the news you want and to get all the, you know, 3D pictures, and you could see them there. So it's a pretty cool little technology thing. Do you get a chance to see any of this or no?
I don't have an iPhone.
Well, you don't need an iPhone to view it. You need an iPhone to take the photos. And
okay.
If you have, do you still use Facebook, or I don't think you do anymore, right?
Not much, but I'll log on and check them out.
So yeah, I'll send you a link to some of them I've done. But
okay, awesome, thank you.
So yeah, it's a cool little thing. We shall see what else happens. You know, it's interesting that Facebook is doing this. So we'll see. It's a fun kind of novelty right now. Maybe it'll get better in the future, you know, having put up virtual pictures and stuff. So last thing, this podcast will be the first new podcast that will be also on Spotify.
Woohoo!
So we are basically on every major podcast platform. And we just put up on Spotify last week, or this past week. So, you know, I don't know if anyone from Spotify is listening, but if you are, awesome. We definitely appreciate your reviews. But we're on basically everywhere for podcasts. And I can't really think of any other locations to put our podcast. And I think we got all the big ones. So I think for right now, it's going to be it. Because we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher Radio, we're on Google Play, we're on TuneIn, we're on Player FM, we're on Overcast, we're on iHeartRadio, and now we're on Spotify, as well as YouTube and Facebook and Instagram TV. So you can find this podcast a huge amount of places, you know? So, yeah, just a big announcement there with just continue to expand. We're just, you know, try to find as many places as we can do to get to you. And I hope you enjoy our content. Jake, got anything else?
Oh, I think we just about covered it.
So yeah, a little bit longer episode. Most of these would be about 45 minutes, but we got a lot to talk about. So we had to cover the news. And pretty soon, we're going to have quite a few 3D movies to review, so we're going to be pretty busy. So we're going to try to do these every once in a while, but I mean, movie after movie is coming out this, you know, next 2 months. So time is going to be very precious, especially with the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatever, everything else happening. So, but we'll keep at it. Thank you for listening.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, before this podcast ends, I want to give a thank you to my patrons. Right now, we have one patron, which is David from Spain, and I want to thank you for your financial support.
All right, so that's going to be it for this podcast.
We now have a Patreon, and the link is in the description. Thanks for watching.
And we are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, a little bit everywhere. Just look for us, 3D or 2D. And of course, review us on iTunes. And if you want to write us a letter, our email address is email3d or 2d@gmail.com. So that's going to be it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everyone.